Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. First Peter chapter 2, 11 through 17. Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Amen. Father God, thank you. We invite you to come and speak to us and meet with us, God. Help us to pray to you and just to be in your presence this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Peter is urging his disciples, the ones that he is writing to abstain from fleshly lusts that wage war against the soul. He calls them in verse 11, aliens and strangers. So what he's saying, I believe what he is reminding them is, hey, this world is not your home. You know, you are an alien and a stranger in this world, and therefore, because this world is not our ultimate destination, this world, the flesh, is not the ultimate goal or pursuit for us. And so our fleshly lusts, we can abstain from it. Because we're going after or pursuing or living for, an eternal home. So we don't have to, a lot of the times, a lot of people, they make their ultimate pursuit in life, you know, is worldly satisfaction. That's something that can satisfy them in this world, something that can satisfy their flesh, whether it's, you know, good food or certain kinds of pleasures or whatever. That often becomes the ultimate pursuit if we don't have an eternal perspective. But Peter is saying, no, we're aliens and strangers here in this world, and so abstain from the fleshly lusts that the way I'm looking at it is fleshly lust is the worldly things that wage war against the soul. The soul refers to the things that will be eternal, you know, things that will last forever. And I think it applies for us as well. So Peter is writing to his disciples, Jewish believers in this setting. But I think that same truth applies to us. This world is not our home either, right? Even though it often feels like it, we have an eternal home that we're eventually going to get to. And so we want to live this life. It should be okay for us to give up certain things at times if needed. Whether it's giving up food for, you know, extended time of fasting and prayer, or if it's giving up certain sins, you know, that really satisfy our fleshly lusts. But if we know that it's sinful and it's not good for our soul and eternity, we say, you know what, I'm just going to stay away from it. But for Peter, what he is saying, connected to that idea, he says, if you do that, By doing so, you will keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles, the word Gentiles often is translated as pagans. Okay, so it's not just talking about non-Jews. It could just be talking about pagans, that, you know, people that don't have a fear of God, that don't have a religion, or that don't have a relationship with God. So keep your behavior excellent. So instead of giving in to the fleshly lusts of this world and doing all kinds of things, he says, instead, keep your behavior excellent among the people that you live with, because if you do that, they will see the way you live your life, and then they will be changed. It says at the end of verse 12, they will glorify God in the day of visitation. There's a bit of a debate. What does that mean, that they will glorify God? Does it mean that they're going to become Christian? You know, they're going to put their faith in God and so in that sense glorify God? Or does it mean that they will just, because they see the good behavior of the Christians, you know, they just have a good heart toward God because they can see that their lives have been changed? But either case, what Peter is saying is the Gentiles, the pagans, the people that have no regard for God, they're going to observe you, and because of the way you live your life in holiness, in excellence, in purity, their perspective on God is going to change, right? They're going to think good things about God because they can see that God has brought about this change in your life. So again, I think it applies for us today. It says in verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among the pagans, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of salvation, in the day of visitation. So he is saying right now where you're living amongst a people that are slandering you as evildoers. There's persecution coming against them because they have put their faith in Jesus Christ. They're not following, you know, necessarily Roman rule. They're not following the Jewish traditions either. So there's persecution coming on where they're slandering you. But Peter is saying, but if you live right, basically, there's nothing that they can say to you, right? Even if they slander you as being bad, because you're living your life in such a good way, they're going to have to, you will be vindicated, in a sense, right? You'll be vindicated. And I think it applies to us because, honestly, in many ways, we, the church, are slandered, right? In our society, oftentimes, we are slandered and accused of many things. Whether it's false accusation or true, there's a lot of accusations coming our way, right? If I just did a quick Google search, I came across one article, and these were the words that were used by a non-Christian talking about the Christian people that she knows. Judgmental, unloving, arrogant, you know, hypocritical. That's kind of how the world, when you ask the world, like, what are some words that come to you when you think of Christians? Hopefully there's many people that will say, you know, godly and holy and loving and gracious. But the reality is, I think a lot of people would say, oh, Christians, they're judgmental. Christians, they're unloving. Christians, they're hypocritical. Christians, they're arrogant. You know, they're self-centered. They only want to talk about, you know, their faith and all sorts of things. And so how do we change the world's opinion about us, about the church, about Christians? I mean, sadly speaking, some of this stuff is true. It's true that if you look at the church as a whole, big part of the church is acting, I mean, including us, including myself, we're acting in judgment, in an unloving way. We're hypocritical. You know, we say one thing on the pulpit, maybe in a public forum, but on the inside or in our private lives, we're living a certain way. We can be arrogant, you know, because we believe that we have the answer. So that's going to come across as arrogant no matter what. Because we're telling people, no, this is the truth. You know, we have the truth. And people will be like, you know, how do you know? So how do we change the world's opinion about the church? Actions will speak much louder than words. You know, if we could just live out a life that demonstrates to the world the values, you know, that we profess. You know, if we could live out into this Christian life, that's going to be much more convincing than if someone were to come to us and say, "You Christians, you're so hypocritical," and you start arguing with them, you know, and saying, "You're more hypocritical than I am," and you know, you start accusing them of being just as judgmental and just as unloving. That's not going to convince them. They're not going to leave that conversation thinking, "Oh, man, you are so right. I'm just as bad. I'm just as hypocritical. I'm just as judgmental. You guys are fine." But instead, if we were to maybe, I mean, I'm just thinking, I was just brainstorming last night. What if we just apologize? Someone would come and say, "You know, Christians are just so judgmental and so arrogant and so hypocritical." And we, instead of us defending ourselves or arguing or debating with them, we just say, "Yeah, you're right. And I'm sorry if that was the case for you, if you felt that way." And then you kind of show by your actions that actually you slander us in these things, but when they observe the way we live our lives, they're just going to be silenced. And that's what Peter says in verse 15. "For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." You know? I think he's referring to the slander. Because I was wondering, what does he mean by silencing them? I think he's referring to the slander, because they're going to slander us in different things. But if we can live in such a way that proves those slanders to be wrong, it'll silence them. And I think it'll, you know, turn their hearts. I mean, Jesus says, this is how everyone's going to know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you display this kind of love. Okay, so, you know what I was reminded of was P. Sam's sermon on abortion. Remember a few months ago, or last year, I think he talked about abortion, and he said, one thing he said really stuck with me is, if the church... Because the church, obviously, our stance is abortion is wrong. Our stance is abortion is not something that God wants people to do. And we consider it to be against the will of God. We consider it to be an evil. But if the church, in this way, we condemn abortion, but at the same time, we're not offering any real help and support to the women that are in this desperate situation, you know, because a lot of times, you know, abortion happens or they go through with it because they're just in a desperate situation and they really don't see a way out. And if the church just go out to those abortion clinics with our picket signs, and we just say, you know, "This is evil, you're all going to go to hell, abortion is evil," and we condemn abortion, but at the same time we're not offering any real help, I think PSAM basically said that's wrong. Basically said that's not what we want to be about. And our church, if we're going to say that abortion is sin and we shouldn't do it, then at the same time, we need to do something to provide some kind of help. And I think one of the initiatives that we're doing is fostering, hopefully creating a way for another way for these women, instead of aborting the child, to, you know, put him up for adoption or fostering. But I think that's what it is. You know, if the world could see a church that is loving on these women that are in this desperate situation, on the children that are in desperate need, instead of just seeing the church standing up there condemning and saying all sorts of things, the world's opinion will change. So I want to go to verse 16. Peter says, he talks about, so the example that he gives of keeping your behavior excellent, one of the examples that he gives, verse 13 and 14, is submitting to our government, submitting to our leaders, which is an interesting topic for us, very relevant topic for us now, especially in Hong Kong. But I want to go to 16 first, and then we'll address that issue. In verse 16, he says, "Act as free men, do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God." I was asking myself, why is Peter saying, some versions will say, live as free men. Act as free men, live as free men. What does that mean? But don't use your freedom as a covering for evil. And I was trying to understand what that meant. And I think because Peter is saying that because in the time of his writing, and when the readers are reading this letter, the people that are reading the letter, especially the Jewish believers at the time, they weren't free men. They're actually under Roman rule, right? They're under occupation. And so they're not actually free. In this world, they are under foreign government, foreign rule, foreign oppression. But Peter is saying, but at the same time, we are free because our ultimate authority is not Roman rule. It's not the emperor. It's God, right? Our allegiance and our lordship, you know, goes, or our allegiance, yeah, our service goes to the King of Kings. And so in a way, we are free. We're not actually under Roman occupation. We are free men. But Peter is saying, but don't use your freedom, this freedom that you have in Christ, don't use it as an excuse for evil, for malice, you know, for kind of turning against the authority and treating them with contempt. But rather, use the freedom that you have in Christ as a bond slave to God. Because if God has placed the authority over you, then by living as a servant to God, you would also live in honor and respect to the authority that God has given over you. So the way I was thinking about it is, Pastor Sam, because, you know, I was praying with my brother yesterday, and he was praying for me, and he was, you know, praying, you know, blessing over me, and he was saying, you know, God, you've placed him as executive pastor at the church, and he was saying, well, help him not to live in the fear of man. And he said something, he said, even Pastor Sam is not the ultimate person that, you know, Nate is supposed to live for, you know, please, or try to please, you know, he's living for you, you know, you are God the Father, you are the ultimate, you know, the one that he's trying to live for. Even Pastor Sam. And that's true. I am not under the oppression or the rule or the reign of Pastor Sam, even though I am hired by this church. He is my boss. But my ultimate lordship is God. My ultimate king. My ultimate allegiance is to God the Father. And so in that sense, I am a free man. Yes, I am working for Pastor Sam, but I'm a free man. But I can't use that freedom to say, you know what, Pastor Sam, forget you, right? My ultimate authority is God, and I feel like God wants me to do this, and he says no to you. And I mean, that would be using that freedom or that understanding, that reality as in a malicious way. That word evil also has the meaning of malice. Right, that would be treating Pisan with malice because I'm saying, no, I don't forget you. You're not my authority. God is my authority. You know, a lot of Christians do that with their parents too, which totally works against what they're trying to do, right? They'll say, Mom and Dad, now I'm a Christian. I'm following God. And so whatever you say, you know, you don't know anything. I mean, that comes from a lot of other things too. But we can use our freedom in God to say, no, we belong to God. In an evil way, in a malicious way. So I think that's what Peter is saying. Don't do that with your government. Just because you are under God now, but don't use it that as an excuse to have malice or ill will toward the government. Actually, submit to them. If you know that God has placed that authority under for you, then you would submit to that authority. And then in verse 17, he ends kind of this idea with honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Honor the emperor. Honor the emperor. At the time, I was doing a quick research. Apparently, Nero might have been the emperor at that time. And Emperor Nero, Caesar Nero, is the one that actually put Peter to death. Eventually, it leads to persecution and it puts Peter to death because he was heavily persecuting the church. But even in that context, Peter is saying, honor the emperor. And so I just want to say, I think for us, you know, with all that's going on in Hong Kong, whether you're protesting, whether you agree with the government or not, I realize there is some division. I've talked to some people in the church that kind of are more in agreement with the government, and I'm sure there's probably more of us in our church that are kind of agreeing with the rest of Hong Kong that is kind of protesting and demonstrating. Whatever your position is, I think this command is true for us, that we need to honor the authority that God has put above us. But it doesn't mean you have to agree, and it doesn't mean you have to, doesn't mean you can't protest or go to demonstrations, but there is a difference in your heart, you know, in terms of, are we honoring the leader that God has, you know, placed over us? And, you know, PSAM mentioned it on Sunday, right? That R.T. Kendall, he prays every day for President Trump. And maybe some will say, but he doesn't deserve honor. He doesn't deserve our respect. You know, look at the way it doesn't matter, right? Our responsibility, our calling is not to make that judgment call on the leader. It's to honor and to pray and to respect. And so I think as Christians, I think it just means, can we protest? I think, yeah, because the government, you know, it's not illegal for us to protest and go to demonstrations, but I think we do it in a different way. Can we disagree with the government? Of course. We can disagree with the government. We can voice our opinions, but we should do it in a different way than how the world does it. You know, I was, when this was all blowing up, I was on Reddit, you know, reading up on all this stuff, and I saw so many really, really mean things written about Carrie Lam. And I just thought, man, I hope our church people are not in agreement with it. Like, you know, they would put a picture of Carrie Lam on their phone and they all had their middle fingers toward her, like, and took a photo. And that's just all sorts of mean things. And I thought, that's exactly against what Peter is saying. We can agree with, we can disagree. We can say we don't think it's right and we don't think what she's doing is whatever good for Hong Kong, but we do it in a way that is honoring to her. And we, you know, try to put ourselves in her place and we understand that it's not an easy position. And even in our disagreement, we do it with honor. And I think that's something that we're called to do as Christians, especially in this time. So let's pray. Sam's going to lead us in a song. So, a few different ideas, but I think the main idea that Peter is giving to his followers is live a good life. You know, live such a excellent life. Let your behavior in this world be so excellent that even when they accuse you and slander you of all these different things, actually, those slanders and those accusations have no ground because you are living this holy and blameless life, you know? Yeah. So let's just go to God. Let's go to God. If you, if there's any way, that you're living, you know, if you're living a double life, you know, if you're living a hypocritical life, let's just go before God and say, let's just repent and come clean before God. And if there is anywhere in your heart, you just feel so much anger and frustration toward the government that you have kind of lost that honor and respect, then let's also repent. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, help us, God, to have a heart that is honoring, even in our disagreement, even in our protest, that we would do it differently, that we would do it with honor. So let's just go before God. Help us to live this life for you and honor you, ultimately that we would honor you with our lives. And I believe that if we live this life with this attitude and the goal of honoring you, then these things would automatically happen, God. We would abstain from fleshly lusts. Our behavior will be excellent, and we would be a positive impact for the world. And if we really, really, truly honored you and lived this life to honor you and obey you, glorify you, God, then I'm sure the world will be able to see it and also be changed in their opinion about the church and about you. So help us to do that. And especially for us living in Hong Kong, I pray that you would help us to live in a way that is honoring to you, which would also be honoring to the government that you have placed us under, God. So come, Holy Spirit, lead us. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer or chemo, radiotherapy, or surgery. Let's pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray for the power of God to be revealed. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for those that are in need of salvation, that are sick, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's grace and mercy on the people on this list, that they would be healed physically and healed spiritually. So let's pray. Let's pray for various infirmities that our community is going through. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon our friends. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision for our friends. Let's go to the Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for our missionaries in Japan and Cambodia. Pastor Sophia in Japan, pray for Grace in Cambodia, and also Pastor Jenny in Cambodia. We're supporting her ministry, Oasis House. Let's pray for God's covering, protection, and anointing upon our friends. Let's pray for our missions council. Pray that they will be able to pray well and hear from hear from God in terms of how our church can be involved in the mission work that is going on outside of our church. And let's pray for their personal lives too, that they would be filled with joy and filled with, you know, God's love in their personal walk as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for the local outreaches that we have in our church. Agape, Homey, SB Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for all the people serving, that they would be have a good heart, they would be strengthened by the Lord. Let's pray for Tim, especially as he is our outreach director, and Sally, who has just joined us as outreach coordinator. So let's pray for them as they lead all the local outreaches. Let's pray. Pray for SP Fam, Foster and Adoption Ministry. Pray for Cadence as she's leading the ministry. Pray for all the families right now that are fostering children. Let's pray for strength for the families, and let's pray for the children to really receive, you know, something special in their spirit. They would just be changed, transformed by the love that they're receiving at this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for all the Friday night gatherings today, SPU, SP Youth, IP Team, and GIC Class. Let's pray for really wonderful times together. Let's pray and cover Hong Kong. Let's continue to pray for our city. Pray for the leaders. Pray for all the young people. Let's just pray for God's will to be done, His kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you that you are here with us. We thank you for your love and your kindness in our lives, God. We give this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day today.